Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Maybe it saves Barry Trotz?
Barry Trotz.
Maybe it saves his job. Maybe it saves his job. I don't know. But there is a notion that they won everything last night. You're here in your Capitals jersey.
Yes.
What do you think?
Just to put this in perspective, it is for Washington like winning the Stanley Cup Finals. I actually last night was advocating after the game when my entire family.
Have a parade?
Tears of joy. No, just declare victory. We're done. This is great. Let's go, right?
Right.
Go out to Ashburn. Like, welcome them back.
This is like the Americans beating the Soviets.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
That's an interesting point. Tori is back, so I can say this to Tori, because it is like it is like 1980 and beating the Soviets, and nobody remembers. We did this last night on PTI. Nobody remembers that after that, the gold medal game was against Finland. And so I say to Wilbon, nobody remembers the game was against Finland. He goes, Sweden? And I go, no, Finland. You didn't even remember it. I just said it. Tori Clark is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here to keep track of the show, run the board, do the news. We're a chatter. Thank you for coming for breakfast, everybody.
Big crowd.
Nice crowd. Yeah.
We're at Chatter, which is at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. Mother's Day, big Mother's Day here on Sunday, because Sunday is Mother's Day. That's why
up on me.
It does. It sneaks up on everybody. I assume that we have specials. Tori will be here.
Yes, I will.
I assume that we have specials. I assume it's a big day. I'm going to just tell people to come to Chatter on Mother's Day. I may show up on Mother's Day, although, you know, for Father's Day, I like to play golf on Mother's Day, and I think that there is a
and
chance.
Mother's Day is all about you.
Yeah, and yeah. I think there's a chance that Michael and Chan and I will be playing golf.
So that credit sort of rolls forward to Mother's Day.
Well, I don't
from
know
Father's Day.
I don't know that Liz was on board for that, but when her father said, "How about playing golf on Mother's Day?" that sort of steamrolled. The whole family. Am I correct on that?
For the record, this decision went above my head. So, Tori, please do not say anything about my decision to play golf on Mother's Day
because
it holds true.
It's Chan. I mean, that's so, you know.
He's not here, so let's blame
and
him.
And Liz
yeah.
just said, okay, yeah. you know, I mean, it's my dad. This is what I want to do. So we have Mother's Day stuff. We also, happy to say that we're going to have Marty Aronoff's birthday party in June.
Oh, fantastic.
And people can come.
Marty Aronoff, woof.
He is a WAF.
That's right.
He's a WAF, absolutely. So people can come to that. I wanted to mention those things before I got into the actual show. The girls are here, which is nice. We got one thing to sign. This was sent by Jonathan Lee in Las Vegas, Nevada, who writes, "I'd like to request the honor of your presence for the marriage of my non-masculine child and her groom-to-be. The weekend in Reno will include multiple rounds of golf with all my friends, along with fine wine, certainly Calvert Woodley approved, and the best scotch can be found. We're hoping to avoid a bee in the beer situation on the wedding day itself, but I've assured my friends that in the spirit, Dr. Tony, we finish the round before the ceremony. Once you ask Alexa where Reno is located, I'm sure you will decide you are unable to attend." I've been to Reno, the biggest little town in the world, is the signs in front of all, you know, along the streets in Reno. "Please don't send Saliza. Instead, send Tori in your place, as I am sure she enjoys a great party, and I expect you will have many encouraging thoughts from my new son-in-law on being a proper husband, dad, etc. I've so enjoyed the years of intelligent humor and random insights from the whole gang." This is Ashlyn Lee, right? That is her last name, to Matthew Moreno. And this is Saturday, June 23rd in Reno. It says, followed by dinner and dancing under the stars.
That's Jingle Fest night, I believe.
Is that right?
It might be, yes.
So I certainly,
sadly,
right.
I certainly can't go, but we'll send something back. They sent us something to send something back.
Yeah, a little envelope.
And yet, in the little envelope, they included no card. You know, no regrets.
We'll just freelance some.
So, I did was I signed the note. I signed the note
and
to go back.
Back? Okay.
Which I thought would be a nice
Could
thing.
Could I make a public service announcement?
Sure.
A very personal public service announcement
sure.
to my family, those who are listening. Just because Mother's Day happens to be very close to my birthday does not mean you can conflate the two holidays.
Oh,
yes. Oh, so you want separate presents?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I have a sister born on Christmas Eve who makes the same point repeatedly. Yes.
Can I ask a question because I have women in the room?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is gender-based. This may just be me. I don't care about birthdays or anniversaries or Father's Day, and I live with someone for whom Mother's Day and anniversaries and birthdays is extremely important, and I have been I don't hit the bar. because I just don't care. Now, maybe that's only child. I don't know. I don't know if it's male, female, or it's just me. Do you have any sense of this?
No,
I don't care about these
I'm
things.
With you. On my birthday, I basically hide under the covers. I have no interest in drawing attention to myself, and I never
have. So you
have.
Don't want to be taken out for dinner?
I do not.
Or feted in some
not.
Way? Because that's what I get.
I do not. And same with Mother's Day. I mean, really, the only holiday I like is Thanksgiving because of all the football and food.
Right. Tori?
I think you're both very cranky.
So you...
It's not gender-based, just very cranky.
Okay, so but...
Yes, because... I was
so Brian cares about these things?
No. No.
Okay. Well, this is...
No, but I help orchestrate them for him, so
right.
we can both pretend that he's doing these things.
No,
yeah.
And I understand that. I'm not... No.
Like birthdays.
It's not that I'm unwilling. It's that it means nothing to
right,
me.
Yeah.
In fact, birthdays especially, leave me alone. Don't buy me anything. Don't congratulate. Leave me alone. So
I think we need to unwrap this a little bit. Because well, birthday, especially
I'm
if
old.
It's people you care about, you love them. You want to celebrate the fact that they're in your life, so their birthdays are important. Let's really hammer this home for my family that may be
yes.
listening. Birthdays are really important. Yeah.
I think for you, this has more to do with your early professional career, working on a deadline and really not separating those types of days from others in your life.
Well,
and
that's true.
Bigger than holidays would be certain sport events or
oh, yeah.
holidays for others where you have to pick up the slack to allow them to have a personal life that
always work Christmas.
Out.
Yeah.
Always work Christmas. Yeah.
But I'm at a point now where I really don't care about my own birthday. I'm more about experiences. And I hate to say that because I think back to when Wilbon talked about Lilbon's birthday and he wants to give him experiences and
right.
not an Xbox.
But experiences
and for
Wilbon are Chicago
courtside.
Games.
Yeah, and getting on the Cavs Instagram. No, in the last couple of years, we always are going to, you know, a Nats game for my birthday, Liz's birthday. We're doing something as a family, but it doesn't have to be a really out of the norm.
Doesn't have to be a birthday dinner or birthday presents or Mother's Day dinners or presents. Well, this is your first Mother's Day.
Maybe I'm just sort of...
Maybe I raised you badly.
Yeah, maybe I just accept that I don't have anything coming my way.
That's very part out there.
And in England, where you grew up, they don't even have a Mother's Day.
No, for Mother's Day, what we would do, my dad...
Just butcher the sheep.
Well, we would butcher the sheep in the morning, and then my dad would take us out to clean the chimneys. So
so there.
Together, though. Yeah, together, as a family.
Oh, yeah, it was always together. Great fun.
Anyway, the first question of the day is, who is James Paxton? Any of you know who James Paxton is?
Oh, is he the no-hitter from last
yes.
year? Yeah, the
he's
Canadian.
He's the Canadian pitcher.
Big Maple.
Working in Seattle. Struck out 16 in his previous start. And then threw a no-hitter last night. Is this like the second or third no-hitter this year? There was a group no-hitter.
Third.
Was there a single no-hitter, too?
I will investigate.
Do we accept that Wilbon's position is that because of all the strikeouts and because of the dominance of pitching and the fact that people try to hit home runs, that all of these things will be devalued? That they're not that big. Now, in the no-hit lore, where there's always three or four or five every year, by June you forget everything that's happened before, and it's not that big a deal anymore. But do we think that it is devalued?
I don't. I mean, I watched clips from that no-hitter last night.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was fabulous. And the infield...
99 on his last pitch.
Yes.
His 99th pitch hit 99.
And the infield was just...
Well, there's always one or two
trying
plays.
To save him.
Yeah, there's always one or two plays.
This is the third no-hitter. It was the combined, four
that's
people combined.
It,
oh, is that what you said?
Yes, I said,
Jeannie
said
had that.
Yes, Jeannie had that.
Believe
yes.
I had that.
Sean Manea of the A's no-hit the Red
Who?
Sox.
Who?
Sean Manea.
I cannot. No, you know what that's like? This is like by the fourth day of the Winter Olympics, you've forgotten the skateboarder that won on the first day.
Exactly.
The name is utterly unfamiliar to you.
Well, how many no-hitters are there per year? On average.
I would say around three or four. Some years have six. There's a guy named Homer Bailey in Cincinnati that the only games he wins are no hitters. He's got right. eight or nine at this point. Huh. You know, the Nats haven't had one in a while, but they've had them. Zimmerman
Scherzer.
Had a no hitter. Scherzer had a no hitter in the last 5 years, right?
Yes.
I mean,
two.
People have these things.
Scherzer, he's had two.
He's had two for the Nats.
Yeah.
Yes.
But one of them was the last game of the year against the Mets. And to Wilbon's question, I don't really think it matters because if it did, then I'd be more interested in getting some sort of grade from the opposing lineup to see if it's actually a major league capable hitting lineup
yeah.
versus when Scherzer did it against the Mets. It was essentially a AAA lineup, and they threw out a bunch of guys.
Well,
at
this
the
was
end
against
to
Toronto.
Up.
I don't know if Toronto's any good. I mean, I really don't. In basketball, because we've got to get to this, almost all the series are over. Almost all the semifinal series are over, and they were awful. Yeah. We have a 4-0, a 4-1, a 4-1, and we're going to get another 4-1 when Boston beats Philadelphia. If Wilbon were here, he would tell you that every individual game was exciting and, his favorite word, fascinating. It would be fascinating. And I will tell you they were garbage, that the series as whole was garbage, that there were a few good games, mostly when Cleveland plays, but it's basically garbage. And I would analogize it to, there's always a weekend in the NFL playoffs when the four games are like, just you know, 41-8.
Yeah. Right.
And you go, what happened this weekend? And then you wait for the next weekend. Now what we've got is something honestly to wait for. I mean, I do want to see Golden State against Houston.
Oh, absolutely.
And I hope those games start in Eastern time. You know, I understand they're Western cities, but I hope they try to get the whole part of the country. Chris Paul last night had 41 points and 10 assists,
which is
great. No, he had no turnover. Mitchell had 22 points. Paul had 20 in the fourth quarter. Donovan Mitchell had 22 in the third quarter, then banged knees, and he was out of the game. Utah wasn't going to win that game. In the other game, Anthony Davis had a fantastic statistical game of 34 points and 19 rebounds, and it doesn't matter. Because Golden State, in every third quarter that they play, outscores you by 20. What, do you have a box on that? Do you have a box on that? Because if I took this down correctly, Curry had 26, Durant had 24, and Thompson had 28. And I don't know how Houston is supposed to beat them. I mean, I know that Houston finished first this year, and I know that everybody thinks this is going to be a great series, and I hope it's a great series. But I don't know how Houston is going to beat them.
I don't either, but I'd love it to go at least six games, just to keep it interesting.
Do you have a box?
Oh, yeah.
Jeannie's looking up a box iPhone,
what
iPad,
did you, what exactly
iCloud.
Did you need those numbers?
Those three guys.
Yeah, 24 for Durant, 28 for Curry, and 23 for Klay Thompson.
Oh, okay.
19 right. for Draymond Green.
So they got four of the best. They have two of the best five players in basketball.
Yeah.
They have four of the best 20 players in basketball. Houston has two guys. They're two great players, but they don't. Chris Paul is no longer one of the best five players. They have two of the best 10 players in basketball. The other team has four of the best 20. How are you? I don't understand how you're supposed to beat them, and I don't think that they're going to beat them. I don't.
I have a comment, but wrapped up in a question. Because the only thing I've ever said about the NBA consistently for years is, if you're not a big basketball person, the only time to watch is during the playoffs. Because then they care.
Yes.
And they play hard. The rest of the season, it's just a joke, right?
Well, but there's a real big difference, honestly. There's a real big difference between a Thursday night game with a team that's flying in and flying out, and then playing a team potentially seven times in a row.
Yeah. Right.
The intensity level is necessitated to be higher.
Yeah, but the intensity level doesn't seem to be there this year in the playoffs the way it has been in the past. And is it just
dominant?
Are these guys washing in so much money that they just don't care anymore?
I don't believe that. I mean,
why have the playoffs been such duds?
I think you have mismatches. I think you have a few great teams. And I don't think Cleveland's a great team, though. They have a great player.
Right.
But I think in the West, Golden State and Houston are just much better. Like, it's shocking when Utah won a game. And then Wilbon said, they could make a series. No, they can't.
Right.
No, they can't. They're not nearly as good.
Right.
New Orleans is a nice team. They're not nearly as good as Golden State. I mean, it's not even close. Golden State is now starting those four guys and Andre Iguodala. And this is called the Hamptons Five. And there's a reason. It's a great reason. Because the four guys, Iguodala, Thompson, Green, and Curry, went to the Hamptons to recruit Kevin Durant, who would
The
real Hamptons, who would not meet with the Wizards.
No.
That's right.
His hometown.
Even though they hired his coach.
Would not meet with, and that is a loser, isn't it?
It is such
a
loser.
They
hired his high school coach to be an assistant coach. And then they hired his NBA coach,
and it
didn't work.
No, he wouldn't even meet with
them. Wouldn't take the meeting.
He's sitting out in the Hamptons. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where he belongs. Maybe Sabonic.
Didn't Brady visit from the Celtics or something like that? Didn't the Celtics try to bring in the big guns for that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I remember that.
The Wizards could not even get a meeting. So we get that, and then we get Cleveland, I think, likely against Boston, and that has no real. The Boston Celtics have no particular sex appeal without Kyrie Irving at the moment, but you have LeBron. And I mean, this is the question. One series is going to have the two best teams in basketball. They are. Houston and Golden State are the best teams. The other series is going to have LeBron James, who Wilbon is now claiming people hate. And he's other ESPN people are saying, stop hating on LeBron. I believe LeBron's games will get the higher ratings.
Yes.
Don't you agree?
Might be
with
the
it?
Only ones I watch.
Because I think LeBron has established himself. Tiger Woods was talking about LeBron yesterday in a press conference and greatness. He was also talking about himself.
Of course.
Because he talked about the length of time, the duration of greatness. But LeBron James is a player that people, they know his name, they know his he's great, they want to see him.
Right.
They're not even basketball fans. They want to, what's the fuss? I want to see him. I think the Eastern Conference games will outdraw the Western Conference games. And Cleveland is the smallest city of the four. And Boston is, Houston is the biggest city of the four in terms of population.
Right. Is it bigger than San Francisco?
Oh, much bigger than, San Francisco has to split with Oakland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
San Francisco is, no. Houston has, like, five, I think Houston is the fourth largest city in America in terms of population.
It's up there, yeah, for
sure. I think
sure.
it's fourth.
Might even be higher.
And it also got bloated. All the people who left New Orleans went to Houston. So I'm assuming it's
so
New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. Those cities are the only cities ahead of Houston. Can you look that up? We'll take a break. Am
yes.
I right?
Houston, number four.
Of course I'm right.
Yes.
Go, Tony.
Go.
Mr. Well, geography.
I'm good at geography. I know capitals.
No,
I'm very good at capitals. Not so great at world capitals, but I'll bet I'm as good as anybody in this room at world capitals and better at state capitals. That's my bet. Jeannie, withdrawing.
I'm withdrawing. Right. I'm not
me
in
too.
This game.
Steve Sands, who has been nasty to me lately in his text chain.
Scolding.
He's scolding me. I don't really understand this about the Capitals. I mean, as they say in the movie, lighten up, Francis. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. This is the SeatGeek ad. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I don't have the SeatGeek app. Chris Saliza has it.
I'm on it right now.
Michael has it. I believe that Tori's family could use the SeatGeek app to get Caps
game tickets. Three tickets, lower bowl, section 108, $287.
There That's you it. Go. $2.87.
That's my retirement.
SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. You enter the promo code Tony. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jeff sends us this music. And he writes, included are songs from my friend Michael Jonkas, J-O-N-C-A-S, and his band The Needs, K-N-E-A-D-S. Michael's a local from your area who now splits time teaching fifth grade and making this fantastic atomically tactical music in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now with a new drummer, the band has rebranded under their new name, Harrison Ford Mustang. So that's from the movie, right?
Michael is the son of one of my oldest friends.
You're kidding.
No way.
No.
Is it, I pronounce it right, Jonkas?
Jonkas. He's the son of Courtney Jonkas, who I have only known since first grade.
So, but
wow.
isn't that the movie with Richard Dreyfuss? Come on, the first movie.
With Richard Dreyfuss?
Jaws?
No. I'm blanking on the American Graffiti.
Oh, American Graffiti.
Isn't Harrison Ford Mustang? Isn't?
Well, Harrison Ford is in that.
Does he drive a Mustang in that scene?
I thought he drove a
where
pickup.
He and Paul LaMatte are racing.
I thought he drove a pickup truck, but I couldn't.
Right. Harrison
Summers
Ford Mustang.
Drives the Thunderbird.
All of their music can be found on Bandcamp's website. So, and this is called Frenemies. You know the kid.
Yes.
You know the dad.
What are the chances?
I know the,
mother.
You know the mom.
Oh, I know both of them.
Okay.
Wow. What are the chances of Nigel picking that tune?
100%. That would be the chance.
Yeah,
the
and I didn't put in the fix because I didn't know.
Steve Sands joins us now, and there's a lot to talk about with Sands, the Capitals, and also golf. A lot with golf, particularly with Tiger and Phil. But we need to start. Sands started scolding me on his text chain. Why are you scolding me?
Two words. Tracy McGrady?
What?
Are you kidding me, man? Hey, you got Bernard King, Dominique Wilkins, probably more like Allen Iverson. The guy's won three Hart trophies, man. He's won three MVPs, greatest goal scorer of his generation. Tracy McGrady?
Couldn't get out of the second round. Tracy couldn't get out of the first round.
Tracy McGrady?
So you feel that was insulting? Okay.
Insulting? Even you backtracked after a couple of minutes there with Barry, thinking, you know what, Tracy McGrady may have been cutting him a little bit short.
Tracy McGrady? Okay. But the scolding continued. It just continued beyond that. I know you're happy.
Well, you know why?
Go ahead.
You know why, Tony? Because I'm sick of you bashing hockey.
I don't know anything about hockey.
Tired of it.
And I don't like the Caps fans because they've been mean to me over the years.
Oh, good God. No one has. We've been friends a long time, Tony. No one has ever been mean to you. Are you kidding me? You've led a charmed life, my friend.
Let me get to the essential question here. Not for the team, because players love to play and win and want nothing more than continue to win and win the Stanley Cup. For the fans, and you are a big Capitals fan, and you've suffered with their choking over a lot of years and their disappointments. Certainly,
what is wrong with you? Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that Caps fans, by virtue of beating Pittsburgh, it's very important that it was Pittsburgh, and it was Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, do you think by virtue of that win, that no matter what happens for the rest of the Capitals' sojourn into the playoffs, people will be satisfied with the season?
No. I think that for a 24-hour period, maybe even a little bit longer for some,
right.
I think that they were, I was, we were, all of us were allowed to bask in getting over the hump, having it be Pittsburgh, getting past the second round, Crosby, Malkin, you name it, Pittsburgh fans yelling hopefully the whole game when they shouldn't be, blah, 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 blah. I think you're allowed as a fan to have a little bit of a grace period before you move on to the next chapter. And I think that the players in the locker room did it and knew it. I think the fans did it and know it. And now that it's Wednesday and game one against Tampa Bay is Friday, I think that Pittsburgh's now in the rearview mirror and everybody is focused and ready to move on. And this team's really, really good. Tampa Bay is really good. But you got to allow us to have a little bit of fun after 20 years of suffering. By the way, not just 20 years, 98 for the Caps going to the Stanley Cup Final, but how about the Skins Super Bowl 92, the Bullets, I can't call them the Wizards, the Bullets
right.
suck. John
right.
Wall sucks. The Nats can't get past the first half. By the way, you and Michael are two of the biggest, Michael especially, two of the biggest Nats fans I know. My older brother David, a massive, massive Nats fan. If they get past the first round this year, which they never have,
they never, never.
Don't you think? And I love the Nets. Don't you think we'll all bask for about 24 hours before the next game and the next round starts? I mean, you're allowed to, as a fan, take a deep breath.
I'm going to tell you something. If they win, if the Nats win a series, if they win a series, and then if they lose the next one, I'm okay because they never have won a series.
But Tony, that's 10, 11 years. This is suffering as a lifelong Caps fan. I mean,
right.
They didn't pass the second round once in 45 years, in 44 years in existence. I mean, I love the Nats too. But
I agree completely with Steve, but it's 24 hours. You have 24 hours to celebrate.
Exactly.
And then after that, if you keep celebrating, other cities are laughing at us. They're going, that's all you got?
Well, we're in Washington. They laugh at us all the time anyway.
I totally agree. Look, I totally agree with all of that. I'm not a name dropper. You guys know that. I spoke to one player after the game the other night. We had text back and forth. And the first text back, I wrote, wow, congratulations. Happy for you guys. The text back was not Pittsburgh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was 8 down, 8 to go.
Players absolutely should feel that way. I'm just, you know, the other part of it is, and because of where you live in Florida, you are much more familiar with the Tampa Bay Lightning than most people in Washington are. I'm asking you, as a fan, do you think Washington fans can really get worked up about something that the nickname is the Ning? It's ludicrous.
hey, listen, the Florida Panthers, Carolina Hurricanes, Tampa Bay Lightning, these teams have won Stanley Cup.
Yes, they have.
It's awful. I mean, D.C. deserves a good run, and we're in the midst of it right now.
Yes.
Let's see how long it goes. But I think that they can definitely get excited for maybe not the Ning and the Lightning, but they can definitely get excited for three words, Eastern Conference Final.
Sure.
That is a very,
sure.
very big deal.
That is a big deal. All right, let me move
and
to...
I'll be in the building Tuesday night for Game 3. I cannot wait. That is going to be absolutely awesome. The atmosphere is going to be phenomenal.
Should we send a car for you? Will there be limousine service? You're okay? You know where you're going to be? You don't need any extra stuff?
Yeah, I think we'll be all right.
Okay, good.
We'll be all right.
Phil.
But thank you.
All right, let me get to Tiger and Phil. Phil Mickelson yesterday, and there should be no question in anybody's mind that over the last 20 years in golf, maybe even a little bit longer than that, Tiger Woods is number one and Phil Mickelson is number two in the American rankings. And there's a huge drop-off to whoever you want to rank as number three.
Sounds a lot like Crosby and Ovechkin, by the way.
Exactly. And one has been dominant over the other, even though the other has a whole bunch of stuff. Phil said... No, I don't even know that we should play any tournaments. Why don't we just play a head-to-head match, big money match, me and Tiger? And then he said, I don't know if he really wants any part of me, and I'm sure he was laughing when he said it, and I'm sure Tiger was laughing when he said, well, big picture, why don't you look at how we've done so far? Because they seem to be friendly. I don't know how friendly they are, Steve, but friendlier now than they have ever been. What do you make of this? What do you make of the possibility of it, and is it something you'd want to watch?
Oh, I don't think there's any question, not just golf fans, but sports fans would love to see Phil and Tiger going down the stretch. And I think that, you know, those made-for-TV golf tournaments that you see at the end of the year, you know, if they had Phil and Tiger head-to-head, what do you think those ratings would be? It'd be phenomenal.
Yes,
I think that, look, they're two guys who are ultra-competitive, unbelievably successful. Tiger, you could argue, is the second greatest player in the history of the sport. Phil Mickelson, the second greatest player of his generation, probably a top 12 player in the history of golf. A lot like Jack and Arnie, Tony, they didn't really get along when they first got out there and competed against each other. But as they grew older, children, grandchildren, the whole thing, Jack and Arnie became very, very close. I think that Tiger and Phil have realized in the last year, year and a half, through a lot of different factors, that they have more in common than they thought before. And they've aged, to the point now where they can actually rib each other and give each other the needle back and forth, not just back. So I think that the two of them playing together tomorrow with Ricky, tomorrow and Friday, is fantastic for golf, fantastic for the tour. It's obviously great for us on NBC and Golf Channel the next couple of days. But who wouldn't want to watch Tiger and Phil go at it later this year in a mano-a-mano duel for whatever it was worth?
By the way, who set it up so that those three would go out there on Thursday and Friday? Who had the call on that? Because it's a great call.
It is a great call. The PGA Tour has been, for years, the PGA Tour has been putting together featured pairings, in quotations, for Thursday and Friday. But they've never really put Tiger and Phil together. There are a lot of reasons for that. One is, you don't want them to play early and then fans leave in the afternoon. You don't want the crowds to not be able to watch two of the most iconic, you hate the word iconic, but two of the best players in the history of the sport. But putting them together this year, they didn't get it at the Masters. So I think the PGA Tour thought, you know what, if they're not going to do it at Augusta, why don't we give it a shot, give a little pump up for the players this week, a big week for the PGA Tour, big week in the sport. And I think that, you know, look, all eyes will be on them tomorrow afternoon. And I can't wait. I'm going to be in the tower at 17 tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4. I can't wait to see those two go out there. I can't wait to see what the reaction is from the crowd and from them, you know, as they go about their business tomorrow afternoon. It should be a lot of fun.
Do you think they'll actually play head-to-head for their own money? Because that would be great. For their own money, because it would be meaningful then.
I would pay to go see that.
Yeah.
Well, of course you would, Jeannie. Everybody would. Here's the deal. You know, they played that practice round together on Tuesday at Augusta, and, you know, Phil and Tiger played together, and they got into Fred Couples and Thomas Peters' pocket. So it's not like one owes the other. But I wouldn't be shocked if they had a little bit of,
you know, gamesmanship with some emphasis tomorrow afternoon. Sure, why not? I mean, look, did you see their exchange yesterday with
yes.
the writers? It was fantastic. I mean, it was absolutely tremendous. Phil challenging Tiger. Tiger laughing and saying, scoreboard, 14 majors to year 5, so take it easy, big boy. 79 wins to year 43, so relax a little bit on that. But that's the fun part of the two of them actually getting along now, because now they can actually have fun with each other, whereas before it was always antagonistic.
So have you ever worked one of those things? Have you ever worked one of those events that's a head-to-head or maybe even with four people? Because I've watched some of them, and there's too much downtime. I mean, I don't know how you, I don't, as much as I would like to see Phil and Tiger play against each other and seriously bet on every single shot, I really would. There's so much downtime in the walking around. I don't know if that works on TV. Have you worked one of them?
I have, and you're right. It's the worst part about those matchups. The best part about the matchups is that you have the best players in the world going head to head, and people want to watch the best players in the world. The worst part about that is the timing. That's the reason that match play versus stroke play is no longer on television for the most part. We have it at the WGC Dell Technologies in Austin. But when you get to Saturday and Sunday, Tony, and there's not 64 guys yeah, on the golf course and 32 guys on the golf course, when it gets down to 4 and 2,
you can't fill the time.
That is some slow going, even for golf.
Yeah. I'll get you out of here on this. Do you believe that either Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods, either of them, will win another major?
Ooh, what a great question.
Thank you. So keep stalling for time by complimenting me.
I don't mean to slow play you like it's match play with two guys. I do. I think that
really?
I think Mickelson is going to make some kind of weird magical run somewhere. I do. I think Phil has it in him to not be the greatest player of his generation, not be as great as Tiger, but do something that Tiger never did and do something no one else has done and become the oldest major champion in the history of the sport. I think he's going to sneak out a major somewhere down the line. I really do. I don't know why I think that, but that win in Mexico a few months ago was a big deal to him. I was like, man, is this guy ever going to win again? He comes close. He has 3 rounds, not 4. Never puts it together for the whole week. And he did in Mexico against a great field. It was a World Golf Championship event.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I think that one golf course or another will match up for him in the next couple of years. And I think Phil has kept himself in great physical condition. His swing is still long and fluid. I think Mickelson is going to sneak out a major somewhere.
Not so much Tiger at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Okay.
No.
All right. All right. Have a good time this weekend.
I don't see it with him just yet. We'll see, though.
And enjoy Game 3, right? You'll be at Game 3.
Game 3 Tuesday.
Fantastic.
Maybe I'll sneak in there Wednesday morning if you guys are
we're here.
If you guys have room.
We'll be here. All right, thank you.
I'm going to be inviting myself. I'll just come for breakfast.
You're welcome anytime. We love you. Even though you've scolded me, you just scolded me.
You needed Tracy McGrady, Tony. You've been covering sports your whole life. That's embarrassing. That was a Wilbon-like comment of throwing it out there. Give me a break on McGrady. Ovechkin is an incredible player. Incredible.
Steve Sands, boys and girls. Thank you, Steve. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Books ad. Mother's Day sneaks up and we hit the panic button. We get suckered into online flower giants pitching $19.99 flowers that end up costing $60. Or we grab last-minute produce department flowers that smell oddly like green onions. That tells Mom you didn't care enough to send flowers from the Books. That's short for bouquets, and here it is. They're booking awesome. Books flowers are as unique and special as your mom. They're freshly cut from Books farms and delivered straight to your mom so they last weeks, not days. Books even has farms located on the side of a volcano that produce flowers so gorgeous, Mom will post pics of them and brag about you. And because Books cut out the middlemen, you'll get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Show Mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order today. Get an extra 15% off when you enter Tony. That's Books, BOUQS.com. And remember to enter Tony to save an extra 15%. Books.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I love this song.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
This is like, what's that group I love?
The Go-Go's?
No. Bowling for Soup.
Oh.
Bowling for Soup?
Isn't that what the name of the group is that I love? Bowling for Soup? Elliot Brady of Wilmington, North Carolina sent this in. It says, please enjoy this song by Los Angeles band Bad in Bed, entitled Gary. I know what you're thinking. The song is not about Super G Gary Braun, but in fact about my brother-in-law, Gary Schaaf, who plays guitar in the group. Bad in Bed is a full-service, for-profit musical performance group, and their music and merchandise can be found at badinbed.bandcamp.com. We play these songs in their entirety at the end of the show. We just use them for bumper music in the middle of the show. But if you want to send in music, and again, I know I say this a lot, but we are stunned by the talent level of people sending stuff in.
Just brilliant.
Michael, how do they get it played?
You can email us your music by sending it to jingles@tonycornezzashow.com. And it's totally fitting that this is from an LA band, because this sounds like it would fit right in on the Clueless soundtrack.
I really like this. It's very energetic in the morning.
Remember the song Stacy's Mom?
Yeah, I like this. I like this.
Nigel, how's our digital map going? Where if I go to Wilmington, North Carolina, I could touch on Wilmington, North Carolina, and up would pop. Nigel is shooting me daggers right now.
We have our top people working on that.
Good.
It's in development right now.
Because, you know, with summer travel coming up, people going on summer vacations,
we could meet Littles.
Yeah.
We could meet Littles. We could announce we're going to be there, and we could meet Littles.
It's like one of those election night maps.
It's not like I'm going to the Hampton Inn.
What I prefer, actually, is if Littles would send me a telegram, I will respond in like fashion and tell you where everyone is playing. I think that's probably the most efficient way to do it.
Michael, are we selling anything other than the $12 Chatter t-shirts live here?
$12?
Only 12 live here. Not to be sent out.
Yeah, we have great TK Show t-shirts. We have the TK Show mug and tumblers. We have the Tom Michael umbrellas. I still just can't get over the fact that you're talking about pairings for the Players' Championship, and you can't get past Tiger and Phil, and you completely overlook Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth paired together.
Are they together?
Two rounds. Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't know that.
No, this was a great move by the PGA Tour. So they're on the opposite draw of Tiger and Phil.
So they'll be there. So, in other words,
the
crowd
morning,
won't leave. Right,
yes.
Because you'd want to see
and
them as
well. Historically, when you had Tiger and Phil on opposite ends, it was a clever way to guarantee that one of them would most likely get into the weekend and be in contention based on outside factors. Weather.
Right. Thank you for mentioning outside factors, because we will be outside this purview on Friday. We will be in New York doing the show. So
that's
if you want to see the show this week.
Come tomorrow.
Come tomorrow. And if you want to come here for Mother's Day to chatter, please do. Do you have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. Before we get going, I just wanted to clear up a couple of things. You said, what kind of car was Harrison Ford driving in American Graffiti?
Was it a Mustang?
It was a 55 Chevy.
Okay.
Same thing.
All right.
Is that the same thing?
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about this, when that movie was 1962, it was supposed to be set in 1962.
Yeah, I think
I don't think
the
Mustang came out till 1964.
Yeah, I think you're
so it
right.
wouldn't have been that. So Harrison Ford Mustang is just sort of the thing that we would do with a fantasy team.
Right.
You know. Okay. Yeah.
And in terms of city sizes, Cleveland, the 51st. I'm sorry. That's my English accent coming in the way. 51st largest city.
Yeah. There's nobody in Cleveland anymore.
Yeah. Boston at 22.
Do you know the largest city in Ohio is Columbus? It's not Cincinnati or Cleveland. It's Columbus.
It's Columbus?
It is.
Is that
Columbus.
Because of the university?
I don't know what it's the capital. I don't know what it's because of. You know.
Well, there you go.
But Eric Clapton.
Why were you doing that? Why were you?
Well, just because
Cincinnati.
I want to clarify, because we were talking about the size of the cities in the NBA semifinals.
Yes, but I'm saying Houston is the biggest.
Yes.
And then I would bet that Boston is a little bit larger than San Francisco, only because San Francisco and Oakland are so contiguous.
Oakland is much smaller, actually.
I understand that.
Yes, at 45th.
I understand.
There you go.
This is gripping.
I think this is the best part of the show.
I don't think you're following the thread.
I can't get enough of this.
I'm sorry. I should not have gone down that rabbit hole.
Yes, please.
Let's go to baseball, Mr. Tony.
Yes. Baseball.
Not a particularly great night for Dylan Bundy of the Baltimore Orioles.
What happened to Mr. Bundy?
4 home runs, no outs.
That's really bad.
Yeah. 2 walks,
that's really
7
bad.
Base
That's
runners.
Like the Nathan Peterman of baseball.
Yeah, 7 runs and was gone after just 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, he had, you know, 1-2-3 Cancun. He had somewhere else to go, obviously. He didn't want to stay for the game.
Yeah, so not a great start to the season for the Baltimore Orioles. They appear it's off the rails already for them.
Yes, yes. They're in a terribly, terribly hard division.
Yes.
The Yankees and the Red Sox may very well be the best two teams in baseball. They have all sorts of money to spend, and they spend it.
Yes.
And they played last night, and the Yankees won 3-2.
Yes, Yankees win 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yankees won like 16 out of 17.
Yeah, they.
Stanton finally warming up.
Yeah, he gets two home runs. Some bad news, by the way, for the Red Sox before the game. David Price, with numbness in his pitching hand, he's bumped from his start. Was supposed to pitch tonight. But they don't know what his status will be for the rest of the season.
Well, why doesn't he just yell at Dennis Eckersley?
Yeah, he could do that.
He could do that. So you don't know what it's like, old man. You've never – wait. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a pretty good
what
pitcher.
What are you talking about?
Pretty good pitcher.
Yeah.
So the Yankees and Red Sox are now tied for first place in the East.
I have that picture from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I have a picture of everybody from that table.
Oh, with Brooks Robinson and Tony La Russa?
I am older
you
than all of them.
Bombed.
I was not at all. I wasn't even close.
No, you looked happy.
You know, but
I
am there at a group shot with Brooks Robinson, Tony La Russa, and Dennis Eckersley. That's pretty good.
Pretty
that
good.
Is pretty good.
That's pretty
did
good.
I read somewhere that the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to London to play baseball?
Yes. Yes. Play a two-game series.
It's
I think
really
next year.
Stupid.
Yeah. Really?
It's really stupid when the NFL goes to London. It's really. What is the point? What's the end game? What do you want to do? What?
I mean, as someone from that area,
yeah.
They don't really care
they
about baseball.
They don't care about
no.
baseball.
No, they no. don't.
They don't they care don't. About it.
Yeah. So, and as I mentioned to Michael, as we walked in this morning, this Jeremy Hellickson signing by the Washington
fantastic.
Nationals
yes.
might be the best move they make.
Rizzo
yes.
should get
he finally gets
for this.
A decision.
Yeah. Rizzo should get great
for that and Matt Adams.
Six yes. and two thirds, two hits, was flirting with a perfect game for a while. No walks, eight strikeouts.
Yeah, how many pitches? Because the last
91.
All right. Yeah. Do you remember when Davey took him out at 61?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
took him out at 61 pitches in the fifth, right? Yeah. 61 in the fifth. Gio, of course, has 61 by the third. But So they won last night.
They
the
won
Padres,
4-0.
And I don't want George Mitrovic to be angry at me.
But they're terrible.
But they spend money. They spent a lot of money on Eric Hosmer, and he's a very, very good player. But year after year after year after year, even with the money spent, the Padres are not contenders. They're just not. They're not. And they start out so badly. I think they lost three straight games to the Dodgers by shutouts. That to open the season, I mean, they're odd. The Padres, the two teams in baseball right now, the Padres and the Reds, they're out of it early.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out of it first week, second week.
It'll be interesting to follow Hellickson as we get deeper into the season, if he continues on this path where he goes in front of Gio, to see what effect the team has with two guys with big curveballs back-to-back.
Hellickson is a curveball pitcher at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't
he
have a lot of
speed.
He has
a big strikeout
curve. Wasn't he pretty good with the Phillies for a few years?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought...
But he was terrible with the O's, wasn't he?
Well, look, you're right. Matt Adams and Hellickson, those are big signings that you didn't even really pay attention to. That's Rizzo.
Well, and re-signing Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving Rizzo all the credit in the world. All that, but I'm nervous about... From the 7th and the 8th and the 9th, I'm very nervous.
But they held on last night.
Yeah,
Hellickson had some good years. Started out with Tampa Bay. That's where he came up.
And not Philly?
No, came up with Tampa Bay, went to Arizona, then Philly, and then Baltimore. And then
I remember him pitching against the Nats for Philadelphia. Yeah. So he's a fifth starter, which they didn't have.
Yeah. They needed it.
They didn't have. What else you got?
Not particularly good news for Mark Ingram, the running back for the New Orleans Saints. He has been suspended for the four games for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances.
He had a great year last year. Maybe that's
year,
why.
And heading into a contract year, so this is not particularly a good time for him.
No.
And also, the Saints have another running back who's also very good, Alvin Kamara.
Kamara, he's great.
Yeah,
he's not very good, he's great.
Yeah. So,
but together, Tori has her hand up.
No, go ahead, finish. Together.
Together they were a great one, too. The Saints were very good last year.
Yeah, the first backfield teammates, apparently, to each get 1,500 yards from scrimmage.
Very, very good.
So a question about the drug stuff in the NFL. How delayed are the results? By that I mean, was he taking these drugs during the season?
They don't release that stuff.
Yeah, they don't.
They're not specific.
It could also, because it could have tested positive a while ago, but they could have been appealing it behind the scenes.
You don't know.
Right.
Yeah, they don't release the time frame.
But if you're out for four, that's your first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
now, one of the reasons I asked is because these guys keep doing it, right? And in every sport, there is cheating, there is doping.
And they tell you that it's, you know, it's asthma medicine, and
right.
they had
no idea.
But right now,
I had no idea.
Right now, the player gets punished. And the reason I ask is because he was taking these drugs while he was playing on the team and they were winning,
you think
they start taking away some wins from the team, then you're going to lessen the number of them that are doing it. But you'll never stop it.
What else you
Probably
got?
Probably not. There's a little.
Any news on the Russian oligarchs yet?
Let's go to that.
The numbers keep going up. Jeannie and I are sitting here just watching.
So, you got any news on the Russian oligarchs?
Michael Avenatti, the lawyer representing
who Tori and Jeannie love.
Yes, hot.
I think he's headed for a fall, and you guys don't.
We'll be there to catch him.
Okay. Exactly.
Now, this is how Tori sounds like that girl in the corner who goes, I have heartburn.
So he is drawing a connection now with Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, or former lawyer, I guess, at this point.
Every time Michael Cohen walks out of his apartment, there's 8,000 cameras. He's basically under house arrest. He cannot leave his apartment.
Now, this is interesting because in the copy I'm reading, it says that he received $500,000 from a company associated with a Russian billionaire within months of paying that hush money, that alleged hush money to Daniels. Now, apparently, that number has been updated. Jeannie and
you're watching
Tori,
the bottom third on NBC
like
and MSNBC. We're up
million
to four
something.
4.4 million from the oligarch.
Is that right? Is
that's
it like in a straight cash homie deal?
NBC, yeah. NBC is reporting right now.
So wait, it is.
And by the way, Michael Avenatti is the one who came up with the original report of the $500,000 to Michael Cohen from the oligarch.
Taking Donald Trump out of this for a second, because I admit to you, I don't understand any of it. I don't. But is there anything illegal for a private citizen lawyer to enter into a business relationship with a foreign person and receive this sort of money? That, on its face, would not be illegal, or would it be illegal?
Probably
I don't know.
Probably not. Depending on what were his activities, and were his activities related to the campaign, in which case then it could be considered foreign country. So
foreigners
then it could be a
cannot
problem.
Contribute to a U.S. political campaign.
Right. They cannot.
Cannot.
Correct. Any foreigner.
Correct.
Like even Richard Branson, like who seems nice.
If you are not an American citizen, you cannot contribute to an American
I didn't
political
know that.
Campaign.
I didn't know that.
Or inauguration.
Not even $20.
No.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
One of the things that we love, Jeannie and I were talking about this, I absolutely love, is that the fact that Stormy Daniels is a porn star is completely irrelevant now. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's all about these guys and the money and the Russian oligarchs. Isn't it just hilarious that we are talking about money, a porn star, and the President of the United States?
Yes. Is Stormy Daniels, but she's not irrelevant. You think she's irrelevant?
She's become normalized, I think.
Right.
She was just,
except when you see her in a full shot with those dresses.
Well, yeah. Right.
Then she's really not normalized. Let's be fair here. Right. Okay.
Good point.
I mean, it's not like, oh, yeah, and I'm going to teach third grade. No.
The third grade would love that.
Okay. I'm just suggesting that there are shots of her that we go, whoa, I get it.
And I'll lean on Tori for this as well. It looked like President Trump has said enough with the Iran deal.
It doesn't look like it. He said it.
Yeah, so
he said, as he says about everything, it's a bad deal. It's the worst deal. I could get us a better deal.
This is not making some of his European allies, including Britain, France, and Germany, all that happy.
Well, they're just saying, okay, you go your own way. We're staying with the deal.
Yes.
We're staying with the deal. There's all sorts of gloom and doom scenarios about how terrible this is and why Iran will use this to build bombs, which most of us believe they've been building anyway.
Yeah. I mean, depending on which side of the street you're
on. But I think it's a bad... I will say this. I don't think it's a great trade. In other words, here's my overall view. If you're trading nuclear capabilities, and now you think that getting North Korea out of the ballpark is a better deal than getting Iran out of the ballpark, I don't agree with that. I think Iran is... with a far greater population and far greater, technology and more people to call on and not an impoverished country, I think Iran with a bomb is scarier, I think, than North Korea. But I could be wrong.
We have no idea what's going on in North Korea.
Right.
But I think the bigger downside of getting out of the deal is what it does to our allies.
Yeah, hangs them out.
Alienating
because they just
say,
well, we can't do deals with this guy because we don't know where he is. Is that sort of it?
I would hope that it's not either or, Iran or North Korea.
Like
and it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
right?
You'd like to
and
get both of them out of the game.
For President Trump himself, I think this is just, somebody said during the campaign, you got to say this, it's a bad deal, we got to get out of the hardliners. And for him, it's just about checking another box, right? I said this during the campaign and I've done it. It does complicate things. It isolates us further from the EU. This is one of the few areas in which we had cooperation.
Yeah.
Right.
Interestingly, it puts Israel and Saudi Arabia together more strongly, which is not a bad thing, mm-hmm. right? You got that.
And the UAE.
But to be completely cynical about it, one of the reasons our friends in the EU hate this is because they all wanted to do more and more business, more and more investments in Iran, and this makes it harder for them. Yeah. It's as much about money as anything else.
All right. Are we good?
That was heavy.
Oh, good. That was very good, Tori.
Thank you.
That was. Thank you for saving the
very
newscast.
Very good.
She's got the global view that we don't have.
Yes,
you know?
I have heartburn.
But I can't do capitals. I can't do capitals.
Michael Avenatti, I need legal help. all right, we'll get out of here. We'll have Olga when we return.
Baby.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. How did we decide on this?
This is to celebrate Billy Joel's 69th
birthday. This is River of Dreams. Billy Joel, Long Island Zone, Hicksville, Long Island. We like Billy Joel. Now, normally we play Billy Joel on the last day of the season, but...
Yes, we're not doing
but
that.
We're, you know, Billy Joel married now? Did he advertise? Didn't he advertise in the New York Times and he was lonely and he wanted to get married again and got married again? Am I right on that?
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I read that.
Let's see. Married his fourth wife, Alexis Roderick, in 2015.
Yeah, I think he advertised that he was lonely.
New baby, right?
The couple had their second daughter, Remy Ann, last October.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
I like this song.
This is a great song. I have no critical commentary other than I'm a big Billy Joel fan.
Yes, River Dreams. This was his 12th
studio. Last album.
Yeah, it was his last album.
Yep.
In 1993.
Yep.
By the way, the cover of this, the cover art for that, was done by his then-wife, Christy Brinkley, which sort of got a lot of acclaim when the cover art came out, but the album cover, rather.
So he's married four times now?
Four times,
right?
Yes.
Now, Christy Brinkley was his second wife.
Yes.
Right, because he married a high school sweetheart, and that, and she also was his manager when he first started out. When he was doing, you know, Piano Man and stuff like that, they broke up. Christy Brinkley was his second wife. I didn't know who's his third wife.
Katie Lee.
Really?
Yeah. American cookbook author,
yes,
television
she's a foodie.
Food critic. Yeah, chef and novelist.
That couldn't have lasted a real long time.
Let's see.
She did one season on Top Chef as the hostess and then was replaced by Padma.
Well, Padma is, Padma is a staple on that thing now.
They were married in 2004 and were separated in 2009. I don't have exact date of divorce.
Do you have a movie review for us today?
Oh, yes, of Life of the Party with
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Yes. There's some funny moments in it.
But? Is there a but coming?
Yeah, it's just... Well, it's like you've seen this with Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield and Old School with Will Ferrell and all those guys. It's a woman, her husband played by Matt Walsh. They drop their daughter off for her senior year at college, and then he gets in the car and says, I want a divorce. And then she breaks down and says, well, I'm just going to go back to school and finish off my degree in archaeology, which is sort of a
Is there a high dive scene like there is in that
No, the triple Lundy? No, they don't get into that.
They don't.
So there are some very funny scenes because Melissa McCarthy's very funny.
Yes.
Yeah. And Maya Rudolph is in it and she's very funny in it. And there's some scenes that do make you laugh out loud. I would like to say I was very pleased to see Julie Bowen in it.
She's your pal.
Yes, I've known her for quite some time, and it's great to see her in there. She plays sort of she's the other woman that her husband leaves her for. So,
but if you saw the previews, have you seen enough?
Yeah, probably. Okay. If you watch it on cable, you'll get a good laugh, but you probably don't need to go see it in the theater.
So last night, because I knew how the basketball games were going to end, and because I didn't think that I wanted to stay up late for the Nats game, I watched the Americans. Now I'm still one behind, and I'll be two behind tonight. But Elizabeth is a killing machine.
Body count.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in double figures this season alone.
Yes.
And so this keeps leading me back to the notion that she cannot survive.
Yeah.
That the end of it is going to be her death. Her capture, her death, something. She cannot be allowed to kill this many people and get away with it. She just cannot.
It just doesn't seem possible that this couple, Philip and Elizabeth, will come to some understanding by the end of the season. There's, only three or four more episodes left?
I think there's nine. I think there's nine, and I've watched five.
Yeah, so...
But my theory is that Henry is the dark horse, the son who's just been on the periphery
He's in the boarding school. He's a hockey player.
Yeah, but he and Stan have some sort of,
You think he's going to turn in his parents?
I don't know. Something's going on there. Something's going on.
Well, the teaser scenes from tonight's episode that they showed at the end of last episode, make it appear as if something very big is going
to
happen.
Well, they have to catch them.
Yes.
No, they have to catch them at the end. The Stan has to catch them at the end.
Yeah,
he has to.
I disagree.
And I think that Philip turns because I think Philip's an American and he wants to stay.
He is an American and he does want to stay. It appears that way, but boy, is he a terrible capitalist. I mean, his
travel agency stinks.
He cannot run a business. His sort of motivation.
But that's why
Tori
he will sell out.
That's right. So he can get the money. Yeah.
She's the personification of evil, and I think evil is going to survive.
Oh, I don't think
the good people go and she survives.
What you don't want is a Sopranos ending.
I do not. I do not want
no ambiguity.
Ambiguous, let's sit around in the diner and order dinner
right.
things.
Yeah.
Okay. I want the daughter dead. She's
really?
Got to go.
Yeah.
Dead.
I wanted
and I hope her
dead.
Mother kills her. Just.
I'm so over her.
She's so whiny. She's so...
That's just fabulous.
Okay, that might come back in my daughter's therapy. I take that back.
She's a third-rate spy.
Yes,
she's just
exactly.
All they do is put a baseball cap on her and have her march around.
And that's why her mother's going to kill her, because she's a third-rate spy.
She's a very bad spy.
Yeah.
But in the episode I just saw, she knocked out a couple of guys.
Oh, yeah, in the ballroom fight, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought
that
was
pretty. But she shouldn't have done that.
Your suspicion is that Philip will be somewhere on the West Coast, maybe a fisherman, and he'll just look up in the sky.
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Yeah,
that's how it's going.
He's with Father Tim.
So Wayne Rooney, as what happens with all soccer players who realize they can't play anymore. This goes back to Pelé ending up with the New York Cosmos and Franz Beckenbauer and Johan Cruyff. Whenever they realize that their European days are done, and they know, athletes know when they're done, they try to get a couple more years out of it. Wayne Rooney now appears to be ready to come to Washington, D.C., and have, you know, he is known mostly for an instant hair transplant.
Right.
Like hair today, Friday, and then playing with it on Sunday. Wayne Rooney, the British longtime striker.
Yes.
He's going to end up with DC United. That new stadium. Have you seen the new stadium?
Yeah,
it's right by the Nats ballpark. It's very pretty.
It was right near where I was parking on Sunday.
Is that right?
Yeah. That
you didn't get players lot?
No, I didn't get players lot.
You know, well, you should
did
have
you
come
get players lot?
I got players lot.
I have to tell you, this morning, I'm puttering around. I was not supposed to be on the show. I was supposed to be Barry, which is why I wrote Berry in my coffee cup.
So Barry's ill.
Yeah, Barry took ill.
So I get the call from puttering around with the dogs and the tomato plants. I'm not prepping for the show. And I get the call from, you know, to the bullpen. I gotta go. So I'm running around all of a sudden, and I yell at Brian, and I said, just look up stuff, you know, let me know what's going on. So what's the first thing he yells out? Wayne Rooney. And I said, what? I'm screaming from the bathroom. I said, what? And he says, Wayne Rooney, come. And I said, the only thing Kornheiser cares less about than hockey is soccer.
That's right.
That will not come up on this show.
No, it will, because I mean, I
because
do.
Of the hair plugs.
Yeah, well, it's the hair plugs is part of it, but it's also, this shows you definitively where American soccer still is, where it was 40 years ago, where European about-to-be has-beens, about-to-be, not
Give
yet.
Give us your tired, your...
Yeah. Let them come here and play soccer.
Right.
Let them play soccer.
And he'll probably be better than anybody plays.
Of course he would. He'll be far better, because he's still by our standards, he's the greatest player in the world compared to our players. We're trying to get one or two guys to make a good European team. He was a star in Europe, in the first division in England, and, you know, a big star, an all-time star, and he'll come here, and he'll be good, and people will go. And by the way, it's a smart thing. If you can get him here, I think I read in the paper that stadium is going to open on July 14th. Is that right? Can somebody look this
up?
And by somebody, maybe I should look this up. Somebody
Speaking
talk.
Of parking, boy, what if there's a soccer game and a Nats game on the same day? That's going to be...
It will open July 14th.
July 14th.
To celebrate your birthday.
If they get him here, and to celebrate Bastille Day, which is very big in the Rooney household in England,
is.
I'm sure.
Yes.
If you get him here for that, you're probably going to sell out all year anyway, but you'll sell out this year and next year all the time just to see Wayne Rooney. That's actually smart. It's smart. We're losing a golf tournament, but we're gaining a soccer player. Michael, are you aware of we're losing the Tiger tournament, which for years was sponsored by AT&T, and then they bailed out. And I think that probably had something to do with Tiger's public image. Quicken Loans came in. Quicken Loans is owned by Dan Gilbert.
That's right.
Who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you think of him as a Cleveland guy, but he's a Detroit guy. He lives and works in Detroit. And so he wants to move that. He wants to sponsor a golf tournament. He wants it to be in Detroit. And God knows Detroit is a more depressed city than Washington, D.C., and could probably use the golf tournament. But now the Washington Golf Tournament, without a sponsor, it can disappear from the entire tour, right?
It could disappear. I think they will always return at some point. TPC Potomac, which was the old Avenel tournament,
yeah,
has proven in its last year to be a great place on tour. And that's what happens. The reputation of a course starts to grow, and players are going to give it the reputation that it actually does deserve to get a regular tour stop. It's a really tricky place to have an event in the summer. So scheduling-wise, with all of the WGC events, with the FedEx Cup, with the schedule of the majors, the players going back to March, the PGA moving up in schedule, it's really hard to get a normal tour event. So it'll get something, but I don't think D.C. is going to care that much about losing an event.
This is what D.C. should do. They should take East Potomac Park. They should make one championship golf course out of it so that you get that view of the Washington Monument.
It's a great idea.
That's what you do.
Oh, yeah.
And you make it. It's a public course. Anyone can play it. It has a championship component, and you bring people here because it's America. That's how it works.
How much money do you have to put in that course?
I would say less than $10 million, but I honestly have no idea.
I would double that. I would multiply that by a factor of 10.
$100 million.
So this is my idea that you have taken in and apparently run with.
Yes, it's your idea. It's Michael's
idea.
I think it's
very easy to try and partner with a group like Under Armour, or to try and bring in another golf manufacturer that wants to have a presence. It's complicated because it's a national park.
Yeah.
And you can't just have somebody come in and develop it. But if you could, just imagine a place that's 15 minutes away from a national airport where you're going to have people coming in just to buy shirts and to play nine holes. And the future of golf is short courses, nine-hole courses, getting people out to play in under 4.5 hours. And you could actually find the space on that parcel of land. And when you did get an event, imagine a Tiger Phil, as you brought that idea up earlier.
Or whoever is the Tiger Phil
yes,
of that year.
That Shell yeah. Wonderful World of Golf.
They're
going to
want to play in
event.
Washington, D.C. You see the Washington Monument. It's right there. It's in every
shot.
Do
you remember how hard it was to get a baseball team here with the politics, local politics of Washington, D.C., how divisive it was to get a baseball team here? It was for a long time, because there's a big chunk of the population baseball means nothing to.
Well, I'm
going to
suggest
an even bigger chunk that
well,
golf.
Okay,
means
but I'm
going
to suggest one thing to you: that the guy sitting at 1600 right now actually does care about golf and could be motivated to do something about this very quickly. Could be. I you know.
He
anyway.
Doesn't live at 1600.
Where does he live?
He lives at Mar-a-Lago.
What he spends? He's.
He's there Tuesday.
He has
Thursday.
Towel service here, doesn't yeah, he? I mean, he's here once yeah. in a while.
I think so.
Once
so,
in a while.
Yeah,
gets all right, we'll
that.
Take a break.
Would you consider? Would Chatter consider sponsoring the tournament?
We can't. It's too.
I think they'll take.
I don't know
50
if we have a good
now.
Mother's Day. Yeah. I'll ask Elizabeth if we have a good Mother's Day.
Zinco de Derby.
Maybe we could do that. Big Mother's Day here at Chatter.
Got to be here.
All right. Jingle an email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This one goes out to Jeannie McManus.
Oh.
Eat it, Saliza. Gary. Nigel, hit the button. On the corner of Wisconsin, Jennifer Street Northwest, there's a line of littles outside a place we love best. Owned by some rich guys trying to make their pockets fatter. It's a for-profit restaurant, and we call it Chatter.
Reg, you told me not to come.
This is great.
Reg, you told me not to come. That ain't the way to have lunch, son.
Listen, you might see Tony in there, sometimes tending bar, or maybe Alan Bubis outside sitting in his car. They've got the best bathrooms in all of D.C. Somebody tell the wooden story and get me a bowl of Wilbon shit.
As you told me not to come.
Fantastic.
Yes, he did.
I prefer this.
That's
so
fantastic.
Much.
I'm just going to read the email. Tony, I remember the first time I clicked on the link to listen to your show more than 15 years ago. As soon as the sound came up, you screamed the name Guga Quirton in a fit of rage about something. Right then, I was hooked. I can't remember why you were so mad at him, but it was gold, Tony, gold. In any case, I figured the TK show could use a soul brother number one, aside from David, Leon, and Howard, for a jingle. So hopefully this rendition of Jeannie McManus's Favorite group does the trick. Best regards, Monty. That was
nicely
wonderful.
Done.
That
was
fantastic.
Absolutely Monty,
wonderful.
Much better than the original.
Let me thank Steve Sands of the Golf Channel for yelling at me today. Thank the sponsors from today, SeatGeek and Books. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Liz Krasowski in Spring, Texas. I too have a cockroach in an ear story.
Oh.
My boyfriend was sleeping one night when he shot up quickly and started yelling about his ear. I thought he was dreaming, but he kept saying something was in his ear. I couldn't see anything, but he insisted. With a better look and better light, I saw a little leg, but realized I wouldn't be able to get it with tweezers. We got a turkey baster out, tilted his head with the roach ear up, and floated it up by putting water in his ear. It all came out easily with some paper towels. Needless to say, we didn't sleep well that night, even with cotton balls in our ears. I never slept there again. We broke up shortly thereafter. That is one of the great emails in the history of this show.
We broke up shortly thereafter.
Mike from Burke, Virginia. I am not a person of the hockey, but I have a dream. I dream that the Caps now go on to win the Stanley Cup, and at the parade, when Barry Trotz advances to the microphone to greet the cheering fans of Washington, I dream that he raises the cup high atop his head as it gleams in the sun, the trophy, not his bald head, and shouts, "Don't you know who I am?" Or perhaps, "I'm buying the beers at Chatter, a full-service for-profit restaurant in Wisconsin and Jennifer," or even, "Kiss my Canadian ass, Kornheiser." It would be so beautiful. Mike from Burke, Virginia.
Mike.
Kitty Betham, Norristown, Pennsylvania. Isn't Norristown where Tom Lasorda is from? And isn't that where Mike Piazza is from, Norristown, Pennsylvania?
I do not know, but I'll look
Let me
up.
See if I have the math correct. $12 t-shirt must buy in person. $20 breakfast, since you have to buy the t-shirt in person. If you're going to drive there for the shirt, you may as well eat. We're $32 so far. Add to that gas for car, $40. Tolls, $20. Taking day off from work without pay in case you don't have any vacation time available. $120 based on a $15 an hour wage. We're now at $212 versus $12 t-shirt, $5 shipping, $17 total. Screw it. I'll still come in for breakfast pictures of my t-shirt. You can't put a price on ambiance, and that's good.
Lasorda is from there, that's as is Gino Auriemma.
Oh, is that right?
And Maria Bello as well.
But not
Steve Bono. I don't see Mike Piazza on this list, no.
Piazza, it's from
Louis Rossell, who writes us, "For the Springsteen Littles, it is well documented it took Springsteen 6 months to perfect the song Born to Run in the studio. Over half a year, he made numerous alterations that didn't all stick, including a backing chorus and various string arrangements. With regard to selfies in museums, etc., I was in Jerusalem a few years back, and people were taking selfies at certain stages of the cross where Jesus walked to his death. Really? It is not about you." I guess that was one of his points. From Joe Avales, or Avales, I'm not sure. Millennial Little from Austin, Texas. "I visited the Louvre a couple of years ago. I pushed my way to the front of a large room to see the Mona Lisa. I wanted to take a picture to show my wife how small the painting is when I noticed a bunch of people taking selfies. So I snagged a picture of Mona Lisa and another picture of people taking selfies, see below, which is sent to us. Not pictured are about five people to the left who are also taking selfies. My favorite is the security guard who appears to be over all of it." The Mona Lisa is very, very small, and it's fine to take a picture of it. But why?
Just not you.
You know.
Yeah.
Jason Blazer. It's Men in Blazers. Jason Blazer. Lake Orion, Michigan. "What a faux pas calling the greatest active coach Brian Trotz. Really disappointed in Tony Kornheiser." Jim Flynn emails all the time, Colbert, Connecticut.
Right.
"Tony, I don't see any volcanologists in the coverage from Hawaii. It's like my grandma used to say, you can never find a volcanologist when you really need one." Matt
true.
From Torrington, Connecticut. "Possible text for the new line of TK Baby Clothes. This diaper stinks. Stop poking me, Grandpa. And the John Wooden story puts me right to sleep." From Brian Kissel in Ellicott City, Maryland. "As a longtime Cavs fan, I'm heartened by the huge win over Pittsburgh, and I just hope I can get out of work on parade day. But along with the rest of us diehards, this run to the championship just won't be the same without Mr. Cap. Of course, I'm referring to DC sports icon Brooks Like. And while it will be more satisfying to see the Great Eight skate around the ice with Lord Stanley's Cup raised high, there will always be something missing without Like as a part of it all. Godspeed, Brooksy, and we'll see you when it's time to take your rightful place on the WAF." Which I don't know is coming all that soon. I don't know. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
He's freaking genius!
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.